perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome everyone to Young Catholics Respond. I am indeed Bill Snyder. It's great to be with you today. No matter how you're listening, whether it's on Breadbox, Patchwork Heart Radio, or Evangelism Radio, I'm glad you're with me today, and I have a wonderful guest, Matt Weber, with me today. He is an author of Loyola Press's book, Fearing the Stigmata, and he is also known as the Andy Rooney of Catholic TV. He is a graduate of Harvard University with a master's degree in technology, innovation, and education. From 2012 to 2014, he hosted the popular TV segment, A Word with Weber, on Catholic TV, and was featured in the national CBS News special along with comedian Lewis Black and Father James Martin, called What's So Funny About Faith. So Matt, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
So let's talk about your books first. I mean, Fearing the Stigmata sort of is an autobiographical thing that talks about, how you found faith as a young adult. What are the challenges? You know, how did that all appear for you?
Yeah, I think it was a unique experience. I was always someone who identified as a strong Catholic, someone who was born and raised Catholic and went to Catholic schools my whole life. And sure enough, at age 25, I started a master's degree at Harvard University. It was my first non-Catholic school, my first non-Catholic community that I've ever been in. And it allowed me to re-examine my faith to see if it was as strong as I thought it was, now that I was sort of living it outside of any of the Catholic bubbles I was particularly used to. And it allowed me to just really take a deep dive into, why am I Catholic? What is being Catholic at age 25? And how is that different from how it was my whole previous 25 years? And just I ended up finding that the first non-Catholic school that I went to made me a stronger Catholic than I ever thought I would. And it was a beautiful experience.
Yeah, how funny is that? It's kind of like when the rug is ripped out from underneath of you, you realize that treasure trove of stuff you've been raised in, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's also incredible. You've had so many amazing experiences as a young Catholic. I mean, you know, being on air with Lewis Black, and you've also interviewed people like Oprah Winfrey and, you know, Colin Powell, Jeb Bush, M. Night Shyamalan. How does this fit into the Catholic experience for you? I mean, isn't that just amazing? I don't know anybody who's done that kind of stuff. That's incredible.
Well, it's interesting. You know, my day job is, so I eventually graduated from Harvard, and then I've stayed at Harvard, and I'm working in Harvard's administrative and faculty side of the field. And I, as part of my work at Harvard, I host conversations with individuals who come through Harvard, and I get to talk with them and have conversations, and many illustrious people get to come through Harvard, and I get to sit down with them for 15 minutes, like we're doing right now, and just sharing in the richness of a conversation and learning from each other in this very old form of educating each other and the world now that it's captured. And I think I've just really enjoyed having that thread of storytelling, whether it be at my Harvard job or all of my work in writing for Loyola Press or having a TV show on Catholic TV. At the core of everything that I do is this notion of, how do I tell a good story, and how do I tell a story that provides impact in a community that I think is at the crux of why we tell stories. We tell stories to inspire. We tell stories to be a light in the darkness. We tell stories to make people laugh. We tell stories to educate. And I think at the heart of everything that I do, I've always wanted story to be there.
Absolutely. Story is, you know, how Jesus spreads the gospel and spreads the faith. You know, there are, I think 36 or 37 different parables throughout the Gospels. So when you look at that, Jesus' primary mode of evangelizing is through stories and analogies. And, you know, so what are the stories that people are relating to today out in the the Catholic world. When we're talking about the world of young Catholics, you know, the church will define that for you rather rigidly, as the USCCB does, from, you know, 18 to 39, right? But what is the experience a young Catholic is looking for? That demographic I'm talking to is that college age, post college, you know, maybe up through 27, 30 years old. What are they looking for? What is the hope? What is that story they're looking for?
Yeah, it's nice to feel like I'm still, by the USCCB standards, considered a young Catholic. I'm 34 years old, getting very close to just being a non-young Catholic. But I think that, to your question, your good question, it's I think 18 to 39-year-olds or whatever, they're looking for community and they're looking for authenticity. And I think they're looking for community because in some way, shape, or form, they are still Catholic as a young adult, because at some point in their life, they found community. And that can be the community of prayer between yourself and God, or that can be the community of a small faith sharing group at a church, or maybe you went to a Catholic college, or maybe you didn't, and there was the Newman Center on campus, and you were able to connect with people around faith. I think it's in sharing in that community that faith can grow and faith can strengthen. And I think the authenticity piece is really critical too, because if it's not authentic, if it's not real, if it feels like you're just going through the steps, oh, it's Ash Wednesday again, it's Lent again, oh, it's Advent, let me do this, and we're going to go to the vigil, and we're going to say our prayers before meals and things like that. If it feels like it's not if it's not deep down in your heart and soul, something that you value or care about, then I think you need to really reimagine why it is that you are faith-filled, why it is that you are doing this work. And I think that a lot of parishes, a lot of priests, a lot of folks who maybe want to connect to young Catholics, they oftentimes don't know how to do that. And that's why it's important for young Catholics to help articulate what it is that they want, what it is that they need, and to do a lot of the programming that would typically happen in a parish setting. I think a lot of parishes right now think, well, if we want to bring young Catholics into the church, what do we need to do? Well, we need to have some sort of late night beer and pizza component after a mass. And that's not a bad idea, but I do think that the ideas that germinate from trying to connect in an authentic way with a younger Catholic community have to go deeper and further than just sort of thinking, well, young people like movies, or young people like beer or pizza, young people don't like to wake up early, so we'll just try and do this programming for them. I think it's much more valuable for young people to help dictate what it is that young people want, and to communicate that within a sort of very organic way within a parish community or a youth group or whatever.
Yeah. So when you go to communicate that, I think we live in almost two different worlds. We have a group of priests who are, aging in the United States and have really no idea what Twitter, Instagram, and those methods of communication are. And then you've got young adults who are communicating through those things. I mean, Facebook and Twitter and all these different modes of communication. And it seems like, one group of people is communicating this way and the other group of people are still communicating through a parish bulletin that may or may not be read by two people. So what are some of the strategies to bring people together to have that conversation about, hey, you know what, this is what we as young Catholics want, and we respect what you've been doing for 2,000 years, because I think the majority of young people and young Catholics do respect what the church does and is doing, once they get to understand how authentic it truly is. So how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, I think that there always has to be some learning curve and a couple bumps along the way. That has to be a given. You're not going to transition from one parish pastor to the next without any issues or without any challenges. So you just have to know that for an older generation and a younger generation to kind of find common ground, there's going to be that Venn diagram, and there's going to be pieces that are not going to connect so well. But you need to focus on, what is it that we do share in common? What is it that we can learn from? You know, I met you when I was out in Milwaukee at a conference, where a conference was put together in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee to help everyone of all ages learn about digital trends in communication. And I think that professional development, that learning, that sort of lifelong learning element within the church is really important. And I also think it's important to bring people together, to make sure that the parish council is not just a bunch of people in their 70s who have belonged to that parish for 40 years, who are big donors or are big names in the community. I think it's really important that there's diversity of voice, of opinion, of age, of socioeconomic background, so that these groups that all share a common bond of being Catholic can feel like their voice is heard in a way that is actually meaningful, and that it's not sort of like you're the token whatever, you're the token young person on this council, or you're the token young person in this group, and what you say we will listen to, but we won't take action on it. And that's where I think it's really critical that there is, as you nailed it, respect among all people at the table, and that there are seats at the table for all folks.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful stuff. Matt, these interviews fly by. They go so fast, especially when we got somebody on who's been at Harvard and dropping all that amazing wisdom. So I have to take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation and maybe talk about some of those practical steps. What are those, you know, real boots on the ground type of things that we can do to bridge that gap and to really participate in the Catholic faith and be called to participate in it as a young adult. So right back after this here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278. Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection, telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, and today my guest is Matt Weber. He is a Catholic author, speaker, new evangelization minister, all kinds of amazing things that he does, a Harvard graduate, and works at Harvard as well. So just a bevy of experiences in the Catholic Church as a young Catholic. Can we talk a little bit about some of those practical steps as we were just getting to right before the break, Matt, about the way that young Catholics can participate in the faith And, you know, I mean, you know, as you're talking about that parish council, right, you know, that group of kids or that group of people that, you know, might be more of an older demographic, you know, how do we penetrate into that when we're small in number, right? You know, when you look around the church, especially my two churches I work at, there's a lot of small, you know, a small number of Catholics in their, you know, 30s. So what do we do? How do we penetrate? How do we make our voice heard?
I think it, you know, comes down to what and how is it that you want to contribute within a parish life, within a parish group, within a parish community. And I used to think that the Catholic Church didn't really know what to do with young Catholics until that they had children, until they got married. Then it was very easy. You bring your kids to Mass. We have all sorts of programs for parents and kids. And then there's a whole system to go through from the sacraments. So that there's this window up until confirmation. Let's say I made my confirmation at 17, from 0 to 17, where the church knows what to do with us. And then there's this, maybe you go to a Catholic college, maybe you don't. But from 18 to until you get married, we're not exactly sure how to connect with you, but we think you're going to come back once you have kids, you get your kid baptized, and then you're kind of locked in on that parish life again. And I remember being 25 years old, floating around from church to church in Boston, trying to figure out what church has something for me. And I ended up belonging to a really fantastic church on the BC campus that was not associated with BC. It was a Jesuit church, but it wasn't a university church. It was a diocesan church called St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the way I connected with that church was getting involved in something that I found joy in at that time in my life. And for me at that time, I played in the music group. I played in the contemporary music mass every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And for 2 years, that was the way in which I connected and communicated in that church. And there were a lot of young people in the music group, and we weren't called the youth group. We weren't associated with a youth group, but there happened to be people who shared a common joy of praise and worship music for God during this mass. And that was where I found my community. And that is where I also learned more about the priest, learned more about the process, learned more about all of the experiences that come with parish life, that come with the mass, that come with celebrating the sacraments. So I would say to anyone who's listening to this, what is it that you want to do to give back to your parish community at any age? And there may be a time when you're working on your public speaking and you're terribly nervous, but you love the Gospels. Well, go and at 23 years old, sign up to be a lector. There's no better way to put yourself as a young Catholic out in front of the entire community than by standing up at the podium reading first or second reading. You know, there's no better way if you want to do music to get out there and get involved. Or be a Eucharistic minister or be a greeter at Mass, or forget the whole sort of parish Mass life. What about the social justice programs at your church? What about all of the different community service organizations, homeless ministries that people should be getting involved in too, that are honestly so diverse in many ways that it is often unassociated with the sort of quote-unquote parish life because it doesn't always happen in the church setting? So I think this is a little bit of a rallying call that you should, as a young Catholic, find something that you feel is a good opportunity to give back your God-given skills into a certain area and to sort of seek it out. And if it doesn't exist, take the good words of Gandhi and be the change you wish to see in the world and go and create it. And you would be very surprised the number of young Catholics or other people who would maybe follow in your, but you have to initiate it.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think a lot of the millennials, I guess it's iGen now, that is coming up in this group of, you know, younger wave in high school right now. And you see this desire to do something different, but to be authentic. I think you're hitting it right on the head when you're talking about, you know, if there's not something there for you, go create it. And, you know, we need a bevy of people out there spreading the gospel in different ways, right? You really spoke, especially when you're out in Milwaukee, you really spoke to me about, you know, the diversity of using the different mediums that are available to you, and it's okay to go and make mistakes using them,
Sure.
And so I think when we talk about that, don't be afraid. I mean, you know, Pope John Paul II used to say it so many times over and over again, but don't be afraid to go and make mistakes. Our God is forgiving. Our church is forgiving. And, you know, so I think you're right on point there. Talk to us a little bit about, some of your work, and your newest book coming out. You've got a brand new book coming out. I guess it's Operating on Faith: A Painfully True Love Story, and it's available now. It's February 2016. Matt, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was my second book. My first book was a sort of coming of age into the faith in my 20s, and then my second book, Operating on Faith, is really about how do I experience faith within the context of both marriage. I got married at age 29, and then all sorts of hardships that came in that first year of marriage. There were some health problems that I had, and I almost died, and it was just very sort of a strange year that's supposed to be the honeymoon phase, that I found God both present and not present in the course of that year, and I was reflecting on what that means and where I found Jesus and ended up being in the kindness of my wife and the kindness of all sorts of people who took care of me in a year where I was incredibly vulnerable, and also that in a tough year you can find a lot of humor and a lot of joy, and that was what that book is. That book looks at relationships. That book looks at marriage. That book looks at love, and that book looks at suffering. And as I was writing the whole thing, it was not a tragedy and it was not a comedy. It was a love story. And it was essentially a 35,000 word thank you note to my wife, who took very good care of me, who showed me a depth of love that I never thought I would know within the first year of my marriage. And it showed me the true kindness and love of Jesus for action. So that's actually my favorite book. My favorite book that I've written. I've only written two, but that one is meaningful to me at a deeper level because it is essentially my heart's drippings about my wife, and it's dedicated to her. And it's just a nice opportunity to have reflected on what some people would have considered a really bad year, but I would consider it one of the best years of my life.
And a lot of fruit that comes out of the suffering. Mm-hmm. That's the gospel story too, right? You know,
absolutely. And the way in which the gospel shows itself in all of the strange places, hospital rooms or recovery rooms, just unbelievable how all those years of listening to the gospel, reading about them, hearing every component of my faith life in that one particular year, it all kind of came to the front, and was just a beautiful realization.
Yeah. What would you say, you know, listening to you talk about that, what would you say to somebody who doesn't have that depth of faith and may have had that experience of just that desolation, that time of desolation, that real difficult cross in their life, but they haven't yet experienced the love of Jesus. You know, when you reflect on that experience that you went through, do you encourage people to also reflect on their painful experiences and the fruit that can come out of it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not going to be the person who gets up here and says, oh, if you're not feeling close to God and you're having a tough time and you're experiencing hardships, just hang in there. God'll present himself. I'm not going to say that. That was the case for me. But I'll say this much. I always had hope and faith. And I always I never had the light dimmed to the point of being extinguished, and that my faith has been really strong at times, and during difficult times it really does dim, but it's never been extinguished. And I think that in some way, shape, or form, I hope that most people can see some element of their faith or see some element of why at one point in their life they were or are religious, why this is important or valuable to them, and that they can not necessarily hold it so close to them if they're not feeling it, but know it's at least there if they ever do want to return to it, or at least flirt with it and see, you know, is this a good time for me to revisit? And it may not be now, it may not be in 5 or 10 years, it may never happen, but I think knowing that it's just present, knowing that there is a church that is open. If you want to go back to it, you will not be carted. You will not be kicked out because you haven't been there in 10 years. And also knowing that it's hard to pray sometimes, and it's hard to feel like you have a relationship with God or with Jesus if you're not feeling really strong in that relationship. You know, try and think of new ways to pray. think of prayers as a conversation rather than just something that's rote like a Hail Mary or Our Father. Think of it as a new way in which you can connect with the religious and the spiritual, and think of it as a new way that you can refriend and become new friends with God and Jesus.
Wonderful. I think that that's refreshing to a lot of young Catholics, that they don't have to go and, you know, recite 12 rosaries right now, you know, when they get off of this, listening to this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap up, I want to, you know, ask you, you know, number one, continue to promote, you know, all the great work you're doing, you know, on your website and whatnot, but, What is that one thing that a young Catholic listening to this right now can do to take the next step in their Catholic faith? What's the next thing that this young Catholic should be doing in today's culture?
I'll give you the advice that I got when I was at Boston College, which was given to me by Father Hines, who is a Jesuit priest there, and he said this is good advice for any young individual, but I'm going to apply it to any young Catholic. Ask yourself these three questions. Is what you want to do in life, is what you want to do at the end of this podcast, is it something you're good at? Is there a need for it? And does it bring you joy? And I think that whatever it is that we decide to commit our time to should in some way, shape, or form hit three of those points. Are you good at it? Is it something like you enjoy doing, right? Is it something that you are competent at? And is it something that there's a need for? And then also, not just does it make you happy, that's ephemeral. Does it bring you joy? Is it lasting? Is it something that's deep down, soul connecting? And I think if you can ask those three questions in the course of your young Catholic adulthood and have those three answers met, whatever it is you are doing, a job, vocation, a commitment to life, service, work, whatever it is, I think that's a good way to be spending your time.
Wonderful, Matt. Thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your just amazing outlook on the way we as young Catholics can truly be active people in the world. Truly appreciate your insight, your wisdom, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Bill. You do a great job. Thanks.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. All of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry. I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278. Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe. Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. What's the big deal about love? The big deal about love is that we all need love, and we are more fulfilled than ever when we give love. So we must both get love and give love. We must get love from God first and foremost, because He teaches us how to love, because God is love. And then we must give love the way that God gives love. Now, this is very possible because we were created with the capacity to receive love and give love. It's also expected. That's why we have the commandment to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself. It's logical. If we have the ability to love, why don't we exercise it? If we have the ability to receive love, why don't we open our hearts to receive it? So let's get love and give love. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.